This episode was recorded on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Hey everyone, and welcome back to J&T Unsolved. I'm Tim, and this episode is the continuation from our live stream with What's Your Weird Story podcast. My friend Colin is a Afghan/Iraq war veteran, and he is here to share with us what it was like being deployed to a war zone. To all of our vets, thank you for your service.
This episode may contain strong language and dick jokes. If you are easily offended, leave now.
I'm actually interested in what he's ever seen. He can legally tell us, you know what I mean?
Yep. So. Let me tell him.
Mute. Oh, I'm here.
Okay, hey, bro.
Hey.
He could see right. Typing.
All right, everyone.
Yeah, that was actually really interesting, the UFO system on there. I used to be a cop up in the Satsuma area, and there's a little country out there, and when you're the only person out there, it seems to attract all the oddness sometimes, and I have to say, your story holds some substance, man. The fact that it isn't...
How many calls did you have to go on for UFO shit when you lived in Satsuma?
I live there now.
Oddly enough, I had gotten the calls that were like, hey, there's a weird light out there, and we get out there, and it's like, man, this is bullcrap, man. I come drive all the way out here, and I get out there, and these are the roads that look like, you know, like, you're going to get murdered on, and I'm turning on the roads like, oh, man, the cop always dies first. Damn it. So you get on the boat and you get out there, and you're like, all right, so what are y'all looking at? And they're all looking out there. All right, come on. So what's going on? Oh, shit, there really is something out there. And then usually the one light we had out there, it kind of dissipated. I'm still convinced it had something to do with the chemical plant. It was closer towards Crayola, but the angle just wasn't right for it to really be anything, but I could not tell what it was. It was enough that it brought people outside, and when it was moving, it made no noise whatsoever when it moved, and then it moved, and it was gone.
Why did that not hit the news?
Do what?
Why did that not hit the news?
I'm not sure.
Because it's the Satsuma Crayola area. Yeah. As soon as you put that in the news, half the people are going to think the inbreds were just drinking.
Well, kind of like the Crichton Leprechaun.
Oh, I was going to bring up the
Crayola aliens.
I was going to bring up the lady whose girlfriend or whose boyfriend was living in the same house as her and her husband's.
Yeah, there you go. Case in point. No. I legit remember had one call where after we all walked out of the house, we all were thinking it, but finally the paramedic goes, that woman's fucking possessed. And I was like, okay, I wasn't the only one that was thinking that the devil was in this woman. And yeah, that same night, on two different occasions, when we turned down the road that two different times, me and the other officer who was on, the street lights turned off sequentially. So like the ones next to me went off, and then they went off all the way down the road. I literally stopped the car, put it in reverse, and turned and left the road.
That's nuts.
The other officer, some hours later, did the same thing. He turned on the road. The lights went off. Same direction I had come from, so kind of from the far road, so they're going off towards him. He did the same thing. He turned into the driveway and left.
No, that was some weird white man sitting down at the edge of the street waiting on y'all to show up. So he'd be like, you don't belong here, boy. And then, he had a switch, like a whole switchboard. He was just flicking them. That's how you keep
now,
the cops off the property.
Tours. I've been in some far away places, and I've seen, you know, when I was in Chile, you know, the stars are different there, and we were out in the middle of nowhere, so it kind of looked like the, you know, Milky Way is coming out of the Pacific. But as far as like weird, mysterious stuff, like when I was in Afghanistan, anytime I saw that, I was like, yeah, somebody's watching us doing something. Who knows what's above us? Gave it the finger and went back to whatever I was doing.
There's some aliens up there like, what the hell does that mean?
And half the time it was like, oh, the Chinese are watching us. So, but we did have what later turned out to be what we probably were sure was like a Taliban drone. It looked like some like Amazon special thing, but it looked like the propellers weren't working right and ended up crashing out somewhere later. So, but. So Tim wanted me to talk about how I, since it's the 20th anniversary of the 9/11, mm-hmm. and really our start in the war, I'm an Iraq and Afghanistan vet. So Iraq was 06 to 08, and then Afghanistan was 11/12. So
I thought it was sooner than that.
What's that?
Yeah.
The war in Afghanistan.
No, because I became a cop right after I got back from that. So I was a cop from 12 to 19.
Oh, no. I thought you went in at like 2005.
In the military?
Yeah.
No, I joined the military in 03.
Oh, okay. I was a
junior in high school.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you mentioned that you got deployed in 05. But don't worry. I'll go back and edit that.
I just want to ask one question.
No worries. No worries. I had been on missions mm-hmm. since before Iraq, so 05 was my first mission to Guatemala.
Oh, okay.
And everything there. So, yep, so I had been on missions before, but my actual first like combat tour area was Baghdad in 06 to 08.
Okay.
So, but...
All right, it's cool. I can go back and edit all that.
Sweet.
Did you want to go ahead and say something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when you was a cop, did you know a guy whose last name was Guy?
Mobile PD?
Satsuma, I believe.
I knew the name, but no, not when I was there.
Okay. Never mind then. I work with him. He's fucking crazy. But I just didn't know if you knew him. So he's not a cop anymore. He quit too.
Yeah, there's a bunch of us. Actually, oddly, you know, I spoke to some of my guys from my class. I was one of the odd ones. I was a regional guy who went through the Mobile PD class when they were still doing regional. We were the very last one. And in my class, there's probably maybe a dozen that are still cops, and not all of them are at NPD. But it did change a lot of it. So 9/11 kind of changed a lot of thought process for how a lot of people wanted to do the military. I went into the reserves, so I wanted to kind of like go to school, and I liked my particular job in the military, so I stayed in the reserves. And a lot of people did that because of the way the deployments were really happening after 9/11. Lots of guard guys deployed, lots of reservists deployed. And you didn't have to play a lot of the other games, too. So a lot of active duty guys who had gotten out came back, but they got in the reserves and National Guard. So my job in the Army is called Civil Affairs, and I deal with the local population. So that's why I've gone to, like, South America and Central America. I go out into the villages and talk with elders, or we go to different, like, cities and do assessments on what the civilian capabilities are, like, walking through hospitals and finding out how many beds they have and what type of doctors, or how bad a school is, or in one case, like how often people are having kids and everything, just to understand the population there, or just different things to understand the dynamics of the people of an environment where the military might be operating, or where the U.S. government is trying to understand the civilian people. So my job is to go out and talk with people, negotiate, bring good things so they don't hate us, as they say, win the heart and minds. So in Afghanistan, we started in March of 2011 to get ready, our reserve unit. 203 people were required, which is the entire battalion. So because so many people were required for this mission, we got pulled from 21 different states to come together. So we started to come together in March, did some training, did some more training at Fort Dix. Just so you know, they started doing the joint bases. So Fort Dix is next to Lakehurst, which is next to McGuire Air Force Base, but if you want to put it together, it's called My Dick Hurts.
That's funny. Do they do that shit on purpose?
Well, you got like Joint Base Lewis McChord, which is JBL, in like Washington State, and then so they combine Pope Air Force Base is Bragg Pope and everything, because the bases are combined under one command. So at Fort Dix, it's Fort Dix, which is the Army base, McGuire Air Force Base, and Lakehurst Navy base and everything. So when they combined them, it became Joint Base My Dick Hurts.
Was that just name y'all gave it? Or is that it like a spelled out?
a formal federal thing.
Yeah, it's a joke on it on that one because it should be McGuire and Mac Dix Hurts for McGuire. You know, that one right there. But if you say, you know, everybody says it fast, so it always comes out as JB My Dick Hurts.
That's perfect.
Which is kind of fun. It's a giant butt pain because that's where you're leaving out of to go to Afghanistan, which is a 26-hour flight. If nothing
breaks down. That's going to suck.
What's the leg room like?
So it depends on how you're flying. So like our Avon actually had a lot of leg room. They flew on C-17s with a lot of our equipment. Vehicles and stuff are already there unless you have like a special vehicle that you're replacing something with. But you're usually falling in on equipment like we did. Or in our case, we stole from the State Department. So we fell in on equipment there. So us, the main body is what you call when the whole unit is moving. So the main body, we flew in Atlas Air. Sometimes you'll see Omni Air, but it is chartered flights. And basically, they rip out all the first class and business seat, and it's a giant 777. This one is actually like an old DC-10, old DC-10. And so basically, it's from front to rear of the plane as all coach flight and everything. So, pretty much if you've flown economy, think like that's your seat for 26 hours.
That sucks.
It was not fun.
Yeah, that's trash.
Going there sucked because you couldn't drink, and we stopped at Shannon, Ireland, and then we had to stop in Germany, and then you landed at Kyrgyzstan, Manas, to stage up to go into Afghanistan. And then in Afghanistan, you load up in a C-17, and they fly into either they flew us into either Bagram or Kandahar. Some people flew into Jalalabad, which is further down. Or if you're really weird, you flew into Herat. So we did our training. We get ready to do all our training, learn how to shoot, drive the new vehicles, come together as a team, learn who we were going to kill when we got over there. And all that stuff. Got new uniforms. Actually, when we were going over there, they were switching to what was called multicams. So we still had that goofy gray uniform, the digital one, which is funny. When I went to Iraq, we switched to that uniform too. So I always deploy when we're switching uniforms. So we switched to the multicams, got all our gear, we're falling in on new gear, get in the theater. We get to Manas, and we get ready to head into Afghanistan. And if you ever think that's a fun, quick process, it's not. You got to wait for the right paperwork. You're living in a shitty tent, and everybody's trying to use the porta shitters, basically, in terrible showers. It makes you want to get out of there. You're like, screw this. I want to go to combat. This sucks. So when we got into Afghanistan, we flew into Bagram, and from there we split the entire battalion up. And when I mean, we went everywhere. We had soldiers from the group, our unit, in just about every province of Afghanistan. And I ended up finding myself in the western part of Afghanistan. So my team from the headquarters company basically broke off and became our own little entity out in western Afghanistan. And then my actual team from that little detachment broke off to what was later Badghis province. And that is actually one of the first provinces that fell to the Taliban this year. So we flew all the way out there, middle of nowhere, on a Spanish base with maybe 200 people on there. But it was the weirdest thing, coalition stuff. So If you ever seen a movie like Outpost or any kind of like military one, you see like people living in the tents and stuff like that.
I watched a lot of vet TV because I found it hilarious.
No, yeah. So a lot of that is there. So yeah. But that's a lot of American like forces on that one right there. And we do, you know, we do share a sense of humor with our coalition partners there. But the Spanish, even though it's a small base, we're like, eh, we're here forever. So they brought in these prefab buildings that basically were like connexes put together side by side and then slap some siding on the outside and then stack them up. So that was what we were sleeping in. And our offices were basically like giant prefab tin connexes, same deal. And so spending 9 months in that, but unlike the American bases, the Spanish bases are fully integrated for the sexes there. So my first experience at this base was after an hour map of the Earth, which is called Map of the Earth. We're flying low and avoiding stuff. We got all our gear set up. It's like 11 o'clock at night. It's my first experience in this base that has no light. Now I'm going to go take a shower. And I walk in and it's open bay, Starship Troopers, everybody's there, guys, girls, and it's just like dongs and tits hanging out. And I was like, oh, well, this is not an American base. Whatever. So from there, it was just a continuation of one long American stuck in foreign forces while in a fight or in Afghanistan. Our part of the war was almost forgotten. We tended to outnumber the Taliban, but they showed their head every now and then. Right before we got there, they had a guy who was sympathetic to the Taliban turn and shoot on some of the Spanish guys. So they weren't the friendliest people. The Spanish weren't the friendliest towards Afghan forces. We had another incident of somebody who was trying to be a suicide bomber and instead blew himself up near a well when he was trying to figure it out. Which oddly enough actually freed up the stuck waterway. So yay for the benefit of the town. So
thank you, jihadi bastard. Now we have water.
Yeah. So, I don't know if like when you come out of that one,
but it's true.
it had its moment. Like I said, we were out there in the middle of nowhere. But again, the Spanish base was different than American base. They deployed bartenders, so there was a bar on the base that we didn't partake of, if anybody asked that. But yep, bar on the base. Like I said, fully integrated barracks, co-ed showers, co-ed berthings, all that stuff. You had two man rooms, three man, usually it was like three or four guys to a room and everything.
I'm going to pause you just for a second. I think my jihadi comment just made all your viewers leave.
I'm probably boring. I'm sorry.
No, it's so probably the jihadi bastard comment I made.
When you was talking the whole time, I had a few people in here, and then he said what he said, and like they all dipped. I feel like the Taliban was listening, and then he said that, and they're like, fuck this guy. So
fuck you, infidel.
Nah, it ain't no big deal.
Okay, I'm sorry to cut you.
No, you're okay, man. So where we were at, we were trying to integrate with basically helping the Spanish help the Afghanis build up stuff. And because we were out in the middle of nowhere, we were literally biblical time. Donkey carts, no power, just clay buildings using whatever they can for fire and stuff. Very Stone Age stuff on everything.
Okay, with, like, I got a question for you. I watched something yesterday because I was trying to show Henley like why today was so special, because they don't cover that in school apparently.
Really?
Apparently. He's in third grade and still doesn't know about it. Well, you figure they would have mentioned it yesterday.
Yeah.
So I was looking some stuff up and I found a video from about 10 years ago. It was Marines like showing some of the Afghan villagers about 9/11. And none of them knew anything.
We got told not to really do that, not to show them about that. Some of the older ones kind of still had figured out why we were there and everything. But again, to show how rural we were, we showed up in one village and we kept getting called the Russians. And I was like, mother, the Russians have been gone since the 80s, man, not Russian. And they're like, are
yeah,
you
that right? That documentary you sent me, didn't they pull out in like 85?
Yep.
89?
Like, yeah, 89, something like that, yeah. So, yeah, they, no, you're right, no, it would have been like the mid-80s or something like that, but...
I watched like 20 minutes of that documentary.
What documentary is this?
That new one on Netflix.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to watch that. I didn't realize
it's really good.
That there's people living in such solitude. I guess.
Oh, I'll send you that video. That wasn't on the documentary.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'll send you that video.
So that documentary doesn't want us to know that they're like just.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't gotten that far into it. There's like, it's like 6 episodes, 7 episodes.
Yeah.
It's pretty long.
I think a lot of the documentary you're going to see is like Afghanistan has never succeeded with a centralized government. So even though like they call it the Taliban. There, even the documentary we showed, there was like 6 versions of the Taliban. Where we were at, we called them the Taliban, but it was more a criminal syndicate. And we were so far out west that actually a lot of our stuff was influenced by Iran and Tajikistan and Turkmenistan stuff, not Pakistan and the Pashto, which is the dominant on the right there where we were at. Actually, part of my training was like, they're like, we need you to learn some Pashto and some negotiating stuff with the villages on how to interact with Pashto people. Or culture and everything. I was like, so we went through all that training, and then I get into one Afghanistan. Like, yeah, none of that counts. These people speak Dari. You're screwed.
Yeah, we can't read scholars' comments because
they're aggressive.
A little aggressive.
They're aggressive.
You want to look on YouTube and read his comments? You can. Yeah. I am not allowed to read them on YouTube.
YouTube don't like that.
Neither will TikTok. Facebook probably doesn't either.
It sucks because whenever. You can't have like locker room talk whenever you make videos, you know, nowadays. You gotta clean things up. It sucks. So,
but on the podcast, like actual podcast, no one cares. Like,
yeah.
It's like, well, you listen to it, it's your own fucking fault.
Yeah.
He's got explicit in the name.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then people come back and try to use it against you later.
Yeah, so, when I run for president or want to become a governor, they're like, yo, he had blackface in the 30s. I was like, I wasn't even alive then.
Yeah, pretty much. They're like, do you know he served in the war and could have been a war criminal and all this stuff? What?
Yeah.
Those things.
Oh.
So.
He hates gay people. You hated gay people like 20 years ago. Shut your mouth.
Yeah, but then again, we elect people and that one are like, well, I've changed since then. You know, the words of what I said then were different.
I want to
saw more politics because of where I was. But Afghanistan, we were so far way out there that, you know, we learned through the same way you all did when certain VIPs would visit the country to like, oh, and the president was in Afghanistan today. And we were so far out there like, when did he come to visit Afghanistan?
So, where is Afghanistan to where he is at?
I want to run back to the thing you said about the Taliban being different. Since it's such a blanket term.
He's going to circle back.
Would the new Taliban be more radical than, I guess, what got us there in the first place?
Actually, I think they may be a little more moderate. So,
okay.
And that's not saying a lot, but here's a question I actually really should think about right there. So 20 years we've been in there. That's 2 generations that we've basically been pushing through on that one. Mm-hmm. So don't think about, you know, will the Taliban be different, but think about, will the Afghans' acceptance of the Taliban be different? Like before, the different fronts kind of aligned with the clans and the tribes in Afghanistan on there. But a lot of those people are gone. So all they've known is coalition forces, all they've known is some form of not necessarily fighting, but the fact that there have been foreigners there in the country, and now they're gone, and now you have what essentially is what could be seen as another occupation group there on them. So it'll be interesting to see how they really want to face that. You know, in the past in Afghanistan, like I said, the different villages or the different tribes warred with each other. When we were facing against the Taliban initially in 2001, we partnered with the Northern Alliance, which some call also the Mujahideen, to fight back against the Taliban. But when the Russians were there, that was a solid front and a lot of it on there, but they still fought against each other too. So it'll be interesting to see if it doesn't probably break out into a civil war sooner than later.
The only thing that I find weird is, so technology with all these different social media apps has actually allowed us to see different things that, you know, the world can't see. Like the biggest example is with the game Minecraft. Somebody, a group of people actually took the time to, you could call it print, but I mean, it's just a digital video game. But basically, they created this world, and it's a giant library. And so it's all of the illegal books that other countries have made illegal. So stuff that they're not allowed to read over there, but we are allowed to read here. They can do it to, like, learn about the world. But if you go on Snapchat, they got Snapchat maps. And if you zoom in on Afghanistan, you can see, like, highlighted areas where there seems to be a lot of people congregated. There's a lot of people living a really good life in there right now. Like, and it's really weird. Like, there's a lot of happy-ass people, but you're not going to see that on the media. I don't know why they're happy. I'm not saying that they're good people, but...
I'm not going to be a jackass, but they're going to paint a picture of how much of a shithole it is so the military complex can make more money.
But if you you click on
Sorry,
that,
Colin.
Like, it's
hey,
weird.
Man, I don't make any money out of that one. I just paid the minimum wage.
He got minimum wage, a box of donuts, and some PTSD.
That's right.
That's why I hate trying to ask him anything about it. And how long have I known you? It's about 6-7 years now?
Yeah, about 6 or 7 years, yeah.
Yeah, and I have regretted every time I've asked the smallest question about it.
Why?
Because I don't want to take them back there.
Oh, I feel you on that. I see. I used to work like, with a guy.
Every question that I ask them, I'm like, only answer this if it's not too much, or like you don't have to answer it, or can I ask you something and not even bring it up? Like, I just want to make sure you're okay with answering it first.
Actually, two guys. I used to work with one specific guy who was in a roadside bomb, and he was a machine gunner when it hit. And so his PTSD was very relevant to very loud noises. And I had a torch in my hand. I didn't think anything of it. It had a bad tip, and I lit it, and it went pow, 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 pow. And he immediately changed. He went from being a normal ass dude to pacing, and like he was just very frustrated, and you couldn't talk to him, and I didn't know what to do. And then like he disappeared for like 45 minutes and then came back after he had his medicine, and I felt like a piece of shit. I really did. I didn't mean to do it to him, but it happened. The other guy, he works out where I used to work, and an airplane went over the mill, and he started running. Like he was a full-blown sprint in work boots, and everybody was hollering his name, and it was probably a quarter mile sprint before he finally stopped running and turned around and was like, just told everybody, just don't worry about it, because it triggered him. It took him like back to the early 2000s, and it was just the weirdest experiences to see people like time travel in their brains like that over the minutest ass thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. It's fucking wild.
Like there's a do you remember that video game that I sent you? It's supposed to come out soon. I don't remember the name of it, but it was about one of the battles in you know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah, I remember which one. It was the Fallujah one, the Battle of Fallujah.
Yeah,
and everything.
I asked him, or I sent that to him, and I was like, "If it's not too much, would you be down to play this?" And he was like, "Yeah, that looks badass." And I was like, "Okay, cool."
Has it come out yet?
So
I'm not sure if it's out yet.
I wasn't an infantryman. I didn't go out for looking for a fight. Literally, I walked around with hundreds of thousands of dollars in my bag to pay for my job, depending on where you're at. Literally, I'm the guy who goes and like, so they blew in your door last night, killed your goat, and messed up your house. Okay,
so you paid for the goat and the door.
Here's $3,000. Yeah, here's $3,000 for and they shot your brother. All right, so here's $1,000 for your brother, $1,000 for the goat, and $200 for your door. and another $1,000 because we love you, you know, and pay for that stuff. And then the next day, the, you know, the SF guys did their things in an hour, and then we might come back through and we're like, so what did they do? Somebody will show up at the base and be like, hey, the coalition guys blew up my well when they were taking out this house. And then we'll go out there and we'll assess the well. And we're like, yep, they sure shit blew the hell out of this well. And we pay for that well.
Like I said, most of it, I don't know if you saw any combat or how much shit you actually saw. So I'm really cautious about asking you stuff.
Honestly, I saw, like I said, we had the one bomber vest in Afghanistan, and we had a few scares, but we were so far out there that never had to fire my weapon. I walked patrols, I walked into a minefield, but I never actually engaged. In Iraq, you'll hear the term called fob it. Bob on the fob and everything. And about all I ever did was run up and down Route Irish between a couple bases. But for the most part, I just sat on a base and took an ass beating for a year because I was on the biggest base there in Iraq. And we just took incoming all the time, all the time. Actually, I was in Iraq during the 6th anniversary of 9/11. And so that was we were there when we had the worst attack on my base. Was one of the worst mass casualty attacks since I think the Beirut bombing or something like that. We had like 42 injured, 11 dead in one day because of all the indirect fire we were taking on that one right there. And when I mean biggest base, I mean it took me an hour sometimes to get from one side of the base to the other. And if you ever look it up, it's a Camp Victory or the Victory Base compound. So that was like where the big palace was. Saddam's palace is in there and everything. The perfume palaces is actually where they were housing Saddam for a little bit, before he got shipped downtown. But Afghanistan,
you mean lost in the ocean and eaten by sharks?
No, yeah. Saddam. Different.
No.
Not Saddam.
Oh, my bad.
No, Saddam got hung by the Iraqis.
That's right. Yeah. I don't know. They're in the same. They're close enough.
But different.
They come together in my mind half the time.
One was a president, I think.
Yeah, one was a ruler, and one was a terrorist.
Both of them are terrorists.
Well, yeah, both are terrorists, but
yeah, one man's terrorist is another man's dictator.
Yeah.
So he said dictator. Tater dick.
Yep. So what was the? The other one for dictator was what was it? Penis potato.
So I'm pretty sure that all military like dark jokes, and I'm gonna say this one in the comment section, but he said you killed the goat and made the man a widow.
there was one that kind of pissed me off. It was like the daughter got hit with a truck, not even sure it was our trucks, and when I say our, I mean coalition, and then the goats got were in the road and a dog got hit too. So it was like several thousand dollars for a dog. And this was not our CA team that did it. The Spanish CA team took care of it. But it was like $1,000 for the dog, $15 or $2,000 for the goat, and $100 for the girl.
That's messed up.
Just $100 for the girl?
Yep.
What the fuck?
Yeah, she got medevac down to a Herat and everything from where she
was. Like, did she survive?
As far as I know, she did, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I still Spanish one,
but it I mean, their so medical is probably super cheap over there because they don't have any.
It's super crap. she probably would have not survived the medical experience.
They have to have some medicine. Like, we were reintroducing midwife programs at the hospital that was there in Cali now. But we, you know, if you get to like Kabul or Kandahar or Jalalabad, Salerno areas, those the cities. Herat was the third largest city in Afghanistan behind Kabul and Kandahar. So they had a pretty good sized hospital. Now, Kali now, think about half the size of Walmart in Saraland. That's the major medical for the province and everything, you know. But they had doctors. Small. Yeah. They made house calls more than a lot of people in other places. I will say this. I was in Afghanistan for the 10th anniversary of 9/11, and the coalition commander came out, the Spanish commander came out. We went out to the parade field that was on, which is like the big platform that was on the base there at the highest point, where we had all the coalition flags. And we had a moment of silence with, like, the SF guys were there. Well, MARSOC, Marine Special Operations guys. So us, the MARSOC, and the only other couple Americans there, then the Spanish came out. And we talked about, you know, remembering 9/11, the fact that, like, you know, a lot of us were only, like, 15. Like, I was 15 when 9/11 happened, and a bunch of other people were the same way, and how it had changed things. And our Afghans who were with us, remembering how being out in eastern Afghanistan when we came in, how they were finally able to connect to people in western Afghanistan. So there was this big sense, you know, even 10 years ago, that we were connecting Afghans and helping with that unified identity. The reason why the award that I got, that I did, was because one of the main projects that we did was connecting the ring road, which in Afghanistan, basically there's like one interstate that goes around the middle. They outlines called Highway 1, and then there's like one that cuts through the middle. And that was our attempt to try to strengthen them, was to be able so they could actually, you know, have, think of a centralized government instead of just a bunch of clans and tribes who share the same geographical borders. That's probably why we're going to see a different Taliban now, because there is the young folks who have the stronger influence. But something to take a look at from that one right there will be the influence from, like, China, that owns a lot of the mineral rights now in northern Afghanistan. So they will be heavily investing in security there. And they don't play like we do as far as with the human rights stuff and everything. So it'll be interesting to see the memes come out of that one when the Taliban are like, ooh, I don't think you're doing that very nicely. But that's... when we left out of there, we were already starting to look, 10 years ago, we were already starting to look like how to close out the stuff, how to let them stand on their own. My area of Afghanistan closed in 2014. The Spanish pulled away from there. The way Afghanistan works is where we would have states and counties. They had provinces and districts. So I remember my district governor that I worked with and the province that I was in, he was killed a couple years ago, and so that was how we knew things were kind of deteriorating just a couple years ago. And then, like I said, my province was one of, was the first one to fall to the Taliban, air quotes, because again, if you'd been there, you know that one group of Taliban is not necessarily the same and everything, so it'll be different to see how they come through. I think the biggest thing right now is trying to see who we can get out of Afghanistan, because it's going to just be a giant brain drain. I'm still working to get one of my contractors out of Afghanistan, even though we've already evacuated and everything. So it'll be kind of a crazy shit show, but it's crazy to see how 20 years, how we changed. And I'm not going to say we're back where we started. You know, yes, the Taliban's in power, but I don't think it's not going to be the Taliban pre-2001.
All right, so kind of off topic, but still on topic because it's about the Taliban. Did you fuckers see the was it the press conference Thursday about the head of security or central intelligence or whatever the fuck? What the hell is his name?
I do not know.
Keckler? No, not Keckler. Fuck. What's the main dude that's always at the press conferences? He's been there
the
for...
woman?
No, not the woman. No, not that bitch.
Not the circle back girl?
Not the circle back girl.
That's why I say circle back.
Fuck, what's his name? He's,
So is he the press secretary?
I can't remember. I think he's...
That's the lady who always says circle back. She's the press secretary.
Yeah, is it the Secretary of State? No. Homeland Security Director.
I wonder if Skylar knows.
Oh, what's he briefing?
Taliban stuff. Or, like, the military stuff. Berkeley? Yeah,
military, if it's the... Mile, or, if it's kind of an older black gentleman, kind of bigger guy.
No, it's a Weasley looking fucking white dude.
Fauci?
No, not Fauci. He's another Weasley fucking looking white dude.
That dude reminds me of like Gollum.
He does look like Gollum.
So, what was he saying? If we're going to assume that his name was Elon Musk.
No.
What was he saying?
You can't bring Elon into this.
Elon Musk. Musty bitch.
Blinken, that's it. Thank you. Fuck.
I told you, Skyler's taking a date on this.
I love you, bro.
Yeah.
All right. So, Blinken, his dumbass, he was like, okay. I said Secretary of State, and then y'all circled around that motherfucker.
You said like three things at once. Like,
I know. I said Secretary of State, and no one said it.
Like Secretary of Dictatorship Montgomery.
And okay, I apologize.
Homeland Security Governor. What? No. Sorry,
okay.
Might be a
high school principal.
All right. So he was doing a briefing on the all the Afghanistan shit, and he was like, "Well, the Taliban have appointed their leaders, and sadly, there's no woman."
I fucking died
laughing so hard. Like, you stupid mother. What did you expect? There was going to be a gay trans woman of color there?
All right, TikTok got me. Out.
Like, are you that fucking dumb?
That is funny.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying the Taliban would kill that person before they even step foot in that country.
It'll be interesting to see what roles they will have. It'll be a lot if they do bring women into it. It'll be to shore up and strengthen how they want women to be on there.
Yeah, they're going
to
go through like 20 of them because they're going to kill all of them from stepping out of line.
I don't think that they even are there politically yet.
They're not. They still live in like it's like 1300.
All right, so you want your
I'd say more 1920, but I mean America wasn't around in 1300. I don't know what the fuck was going on. Rotten potatoes, rats. I don't. 1300 was a wild time.
Like, I thought you said rotten tomatoes.
Yeah, rotten potatoes. The potato famine. I think it was like 1492 or some shit when Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue. I don't know. Anyways, he was about to say something.
Yes, go ahead, Colin.
So here's the one, the middle finger one from the news stuff. That, and oddly enough, they talked about it today during the 9/11 remembrances, with the whole Taliban taking back power and everything, that the guys that were released when we got the POW back, our POW back, and we traded for five Taliban senior leaders from Gitmo, four of those guys have been appointed to gubernatorial positions in the new Taliban government.
Yeah, one of them's like a top dog, number one or number two.
Yeah, he's like
isn't five out of the four or four of the five that we let loose like sitting nine. There?
I thought it was nine, though. I thought they traded nine for one.
We've had a $10 million bounty on for a couple years now is now their minister of defense.
That's comforting.
Yeah. Thank you, Obama.
Honestly, I kind of feel a lot of the vet stuff.
Wasn't that Trump, though?
No, Obama was the one that did the prisoner of war trade.
Trump did, too.
I think he traded less.
Oh, okay.
For more. Charmin Ultra. Less is more. Brought to you by Charmin. We're really not, actually, so don't buy them.
No,
I feel really good on my tukas, though.
Who did Trump trade? Do you know?
I think it was a worker, but I think the soldier was actually.
I know what Trump did that everybody talks about, and it wasn't totally Donald Trump. It was actually the Afghan government, too. The Afghan prisons had 9,000 prisoners that were released. That was a deal that he was a part of. But I still don't feel like he's totally responsible for it because that wasn't his government or his prisoners. Like, they weren't here in America. They were overseas. So that was part of the pullout agreement, was that those prisoners would be released. It was 9 or 11,000. It was a lot. So I know which one you're talking about.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Bergdahl is the guy I was talking about. the American soldier who was captive for 4 years or 5 years. He was released in 2014, and that was under the Obama administration. With that, so he that so yeah, the swap resulted in fives. What basically we tried to make it sound like they were low-ranking folks in the Taliban who had been out of the field for so long that they were irrelevant. And we see how well that worked. They're back in the government. So, yeah, that's where it is. I think, that, like I said, the biggest thing that came from 20 years later out of this one is a lot of people wish the exit had been cleaner, but at least knew that it had to happen. I mean, 10 years ago, like I said, we saw that we were figuring out how can we leave and you guys be able to do what you can. And actually, it already started scheduling. Hey, we're going to be closing the base in a few years. We only got a couple rotations left in this area. Y'all need to get your shit together.
Yeah, most of the other countries that spent the 4 years making fun of Donald Trump when the left was like, we're such a laughingstock to the world. See what they say about our president. Most of those, pretty much all of those countries said negative things about how he pulled out. They didn't say bad things because he pulled out. They were all saying negative things about how he pulled out.
His pullout game is weak.
Pullout game weak. And then Biden made a whole statement like during some press conference saying that he hasn't heard any negative feedback from any of the countries. And then like minutes later, they're all like on Twitter and all this other shit saying, yeah, yeah, we don't agree with anything you did and all this other shit. So, I mean, we're still the laughing stock of the world.
Yeah, motherfucker, we don't like you either.
Oh, he's an idiot.
I, at the highest level, we'll look at the industrial level in Europe, we'll look at the laughing stock. But when you get down to the individual level, when you get down to rural Chile, backwoods Panama, the crappy streets of Nicaragua, or the donkey carts running around markets of Afghanistan, no matter how goofy we seem here and how much we fight with each other, there are billions of people who would want to be here instead and like what we did and loved what we did. I mean, I can't say the end game is what it is, but at least the guys and girls, ladies, the guys and ladies who were there did a fucking hell of a job, at least for the time we were there, kicking ass and making people's lives better at the same time. I mean, we built schools, we brought back hospitals, we tried to better their lives for people we didn't even know. And that's a lot of the legacy that America has around the world. So just amongst drinks, a lot of times we'll come off as the laughing stock.
Because you said, right, a lot of people want to be here. It made me remember, I want to ask you this since you was in the military, and I get so freaking tired of all the people on the internet who think they know everything about the military and they've never been in it. So on the day that they did that pullout and there was, I guess you could call it, at least 100 people that jumped on that airplane and rode the wings, how possible is it for somebody to have gotten sucked into the engine at idle speed?
Well, yeah, I'm sure it was actually, I was really surprised they didn't have issues with that. I mean, just from taking takeoff and everything, that it just seemed like, wow, I'm surprised nobody did get sucked into an engine and everything. Idle speed still is them pulling air through that engine and jetting out the back so they can move the aircraft.
Yeah, them RPMs, I mean, are still at like 10, 20,000. Yeah, at idle.
Street, honest though, I mean, I don't know if you noticed, saw the news or anything, but they buried the article. But you know, when those the aircraft landed wherever base they were, they're like, crap, there's human bodies inside the wheel wells. They ran over folks, man.
Yeah, there was some people that if you, there's certain angled videos that if you dig deep enough and can find, there's certain shots where it can be seen that there's people holding on to the mechanism that is part of the tire, like right above the tire, those just, I guess, poles, rods, whatever you want to call them. Just the folding strut mechanism. Yeah, the structure.
Strut.
Oh, strut. Regardless, they're holding on to that. So when that closes, they were crushed. But it annoyed me because all these people kept saying that this was fake, this was staged, and like we got like numerous videos from different angles, people hitting the ground, like people flying off of it because they can't hold on for 200 miles an hour. I mean, it just seemed dumb to say that that specifically was fake. Everything else is real, but this one thing's fake. This one airplane that holds no value to changing the world is apparently fake. I just didn't get it.
See if a video that involves the military is real or not, you know, or if an event is real or not. Always go to like the BBC or Sky News, or sounds oddly enough, go to Al Jazeera and see how they're reporting it. And if they're reporting it the same, Al Jazeera, the BBC and Sky News, if they're all reporting it the same way, then you can pretty be assured that's how it actually
happens. Yeah, see, I didn't know how bad our news was until I was watching the Afghan pullout, and I was watching Sky and BBC and the Al Jazeera. Yeah, I was watching those. We were like 4 hours behind on any fucking update.
Wasn't you telling me
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
That like something had went down, and then like we found out 4 hours later.
Yeah, the first bombing, it happened, and it was already on all of those. Then, like, 20 minutes later, they reported that, CBS and CNN and everyone was reporting about the bombing. Then, about 10 minutes later, they'd already said, like, how many people were, like, injured and dead. And then they were like, yeah, some U.S. Marines were involved, and no one said anything on our news until like noon that day. And then they didn't, it was like 10 or 11. They'd already like, yeah, there's like, probably about 5 or 6 that are dead. And then the hundreds that are injured. And, then it kept climbing on those. And then they'd already confirmed, what was it? 3? No, it was 13, right? 13 yeah. that, Marines that died. So they'd already started with 11 Marines. Oh, and then what? It was like two corpsmen?
One corpsman and one army guy.
Okay. So they'd already been reporting the Marines since like 10, 11 o'clock that morning, and we didn't find out anything here until 3 or 4 o'clock. Like, how fucked is our news for that shit?
They're bad.
Yeah,
they are terrible.
That's what they say they're doing. They're making sure the news is right. But I was seeing on Sky News and BBC that they were already, because like our news was talking like 2 or 3 Americans were dead or injured.
Yeah.
And the Sky News was already like, yeah, there's 13 dead.
Yeah.
And I was like, dang, that's got to be a suicide vest at a gate. Because then they were talking like 145.
Yeah, they'd already reported the second blast, the third blast, and we were still covering the first one.
Yep.
Like, they were all like 10 minutes apart.
I thought there was only one.
No, there was 3.
How did they get in? They were supposed to have this like designated way to like checkpoints. And how did they get in? That's nuts.
Nah, man. Did you see those videos right there? Those people were like right up against the fence and everything. Even if they would have an easement route on there. So, you know, zigzagging to get, you know, the people in there to get to the vetting spot. Which is, you know, in that case, it would just be basically a shakedown, biometrics, and make sure they're not on the, terrorist list. This one has a visa program already good. This one's putting the application in, get him on the plane. This one has documents. Let's start his. He's good. Those type of things aren't there. But you're still surrounded and you still have a choke point. That's why, you know, people joke about gate guard duty because a lousy ass gate guard. It's still one of the most dangerous things because you're literally the first filter that will take the hit. And that's what happened. The Able gate was hit. These Marines were manning the gate. And it's not the first incident where a group of Marines or soldiers had been killed at a gate. It happens many, many times because it's the softest point that you can get in. There was in Iraq, they had a guy who showed up with his suicide truck, dump truck, and just blew a crater there. Another guy, suicide vest, bunch of Marines at a gate, same deal. So it's not an unheard of tactic, but yeah, it's the softest way. somebody dropping goofy comments.
No, I cleared my throat. I just drank it.
No, I thought he was about to say something.
Sip of water. Dry throat. Dirty mouth. Clean it up.
So, let me ask your expertise since your experience and stuff. So, how hard would it have been for... Because they knew that the fucking Taliban was taking over in the end of May, right?
Yep.
So, how hard would it have been? Because if you're in a foreign country, how often do you have to check in with the embassy? Isn't it like once a month?
Are we talking like during operations or like in general? So, like when we were in Panama, we checked in with the embassy.
Like if... If you're a civilian and you're in one of those countries, like helping out and shit, how often do you have to check in with the embassy?
If you're working for the government, you would have maybe a set schedule, but there's really no obligation to tell an embassy that you're in there. The embassy is there to serve as the diplomatic lead tie between governments.
Okay.
It so happens to be a conduit for if you get, as an American, get fucked up in a country, you have an advocate from your own country in that country. So if you go get high in Thailand, you can go to the embassy in Bangkok and be like, hey, I need to get the hell out of here. I was robbed and all this other stuff, or the government's trying to accuse me and of all this other crap. And they can be your advocate on that.
Oh, okay. There.
And so if you were, say, Doctors Without Borders is a good example. If you're a doctor who's volunteered at Doctors Without Borders and you go to Peru, the smart thing to do would be to tell the U.S. Embassy in Lima that you are there in country. We're going to go do this. The embassy is going to give you a whole bunch of information about what's going on in that area. The embassy can also be your main connection point as far as like understanding the situation that's going on.
Okay. So going back to it, is there like a list? Do you have to like, when you leave that country, you like inform the embassy that you're no longer there?
You can, yeah.
That's okay. Because when COVID hit, didn't they like pull as many people as they could like back to the U.S. like from all over the place?
So when the embassy pulls people back, they're talking about pulling people out of the embassy. So who was working for them. Now so it's called a non-combatant evacuation operation. That's where the embassy says, again, hey, Americans, it's time to get the hell out of this country. You guys are targets. That tends to be where the military gets involved. And that's actually where my skill set actually gets involved too, because we've worked, you know, who our people would be to get the Americans out. But that's on you to engage with the embassy to be like, hey, I'm in the country, get me out of the country. And then the embassy would work, either send military or connections in the country to come get you out of there and everything.
So they don't just have a list of everyone that's like still in the country?
They will have...
I'm trying to defend both sides here.
Yeah, they will have information from the different agencies of who might be in the country based on visa. Stuff and who
but the countries it, are, and it doesn't but, say exactly where they're at. It just like they might be in this area.
No, not unless you directly report to the embassy.
Oh, okay.
On that. Now, if you're working for the government or you're doing something kind of high level or you're working with the host nation, so like say I work for Johnson & Johnson and I am an expat, and now expats are kind of tracked a little bit, but that's an American living overseas. If I was an ex, say I work for Johnson & Johnson and I live in Denmark, well, the Danish government is going to report me to the embassy and be like, hey, this American lives here in this area because he works for Johnson & Johnson and he's reported as an expat. And the reason why a lot of that gets reported is because of tax reasons.
Okay. I was curious because you see all the comments like, oh, well, we know where they're all at. We can just go pick them up.
No, that unless you, I mean, because once you get the visa there, there's not going to be like some asshole who's going to follow you around and tell you there. Like if you land in Kandahar, so like some of them land in Kabul, and then they go to their family in Mozar Sharif, which is to the north, or they go to Herat, which is in the west, or they go down to Jalalabad, which was in the southeast. You know,
Yeah, and it's also not like like the people that are still trapped there and shit can just like call and be like, hey, this is where I'm at, come get me, because you know how easy it is to tap a phone and just like tap a cell tower? That's not a myth. Like my 7-year-old could do it if I showed him how. Like it's that simple.
Well, you have a very smart 7-year-old too.
No, I don't.
He says he don't. He does. He's just a dickhead.
Now it's really easy. Like anything, like computer hacking wise and stuff. As long as you know what tools to use and how to do it, you can teach anyone how to do it. So, it's super easy.
If I come up with a pack of bubble gum and a can of whoop ass, you think I can hack a cell phone?
I mean, if you got a can of whoop ass, you can open the can of whoop ass, take that cell phone.
What about the bubble gum? I don't need the bubble gum, do I?
I mean, you can chew and make it look like you're chewing dip or something.
Fair enough.
What's that one? What was that movie? He goes, I'm here to chew bubble gum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubble gum.
I don't know. There's the IT crowd, the really nerdy black dude. He's like in some spelling bee fucking thing or some shit. I don't know. It's like underground spelling bee. I don't remember.
What the fuck is an underground spelling bee?
Dude, that show is great. You'll just have to watch it. He's like drinking milk and shit. He's like at the bar drinking milk. He's like, I came here to do two things. Drink my milk and kick ass. And I'm all out of milk.
Underground. I'm still stuck.
It's British comedy. It's super dry humor, but it's fucking hilarious.
That's why.
I don't know. I'm kind of just stuck on the with him on the underground spelling bee. Yeah. Like, all right.
I don't remember exactly what it was. I think it was like underground spelling bee, or if it was like underground chest or some shit. Like, it was something really dumb.
I'm just curious what they spell like. Like, is it gonna be like street terminology? Like, is it a bunch of dudes in like sagging pants?
No, it's like a bunch of dorks.
Oh,
yeah. Dictionary. It's fucking hilarious.
Urban Dictionary. Tuscan chili dog.
I'll have to find it and send it to y'all.
Dirty Sanchez.
A rusty trombone.
The episodes are like 20 minutes. You can just watch that whole episode so you get the context.
All right.
You can probably watch them all in the night, too.
Use Dirty Sanchez in a sentence.
Did you say use it in a sentence?
I don't think he was requesting you to do that right now.
Spelling bee? Can you use it in a sentence?
I just think he was speaking like hypotheticals. You over here about to pull up a whole ass sentence.
I was like, what can I say that doesn't get us kicked off of everything right now?
Abu Dhabi, a Dirty Sanchez.
Well, we're about to get that request and not ever have to do a live recording again.
Look, we'll just change our name. And let me tell you, I have a plethora of names. We'll never be stopped. We'll just always have a new episode one.
No, we'll just keep going with the episodes. We'll just keep re-uploading them.
This is their 13th channel. They're now on episode 306. This is their first episode with this channel.
I mean, yeah. Can you explain to us how Trump is kicked off of everything? Because can't he just make another fucking account and buy another fucking phone?
Yeah, why don't he?
You would think that better than I would. My only understanding on the social media platforms is that in his case, because he's such a high-profile person on that one, that he is not allowed to be even...
Well, I get with, like, Secret Service and stuff, but if he was like, yeah, I don't need y'all anymore, and just opened a new Twitter account, they can't really do anything.
Well, no,
that's kind of like if me as a civilian, if I get fucking blocked off of something, I'll just make another one.
Well, yeah, but that's because your account was blocked. Trump was blocked. So the individual Trump president.
Yeah, but how are they going to know it's him if he just gets another phone, another email, everything new?
Fake name. He goes in as Donald Dump.
There's still the human factor inside there. Once they figure out that it's Trump.
He can just make another one. I mean, fuck. Yeah.
He can always lead each tweet with, I am not Donald Trump. Look at my mustache.
I am Ronald Dump.
Honestly, I think he's doing probably the best thing right now and be like, boy, that's so much better, isn't it? Oh, yeah, you're doing so much better.
It must be great not having fucking social media. Like,
well, it's killing him, dude, honestly.
It has to be.
He's laying in bed like right now.
I mean, he's got his own fucking website now. He can just put whatever the fuck he wants on there.
What is that website? I bet you it's a fucking shit show.
On the desk of Donald J. Trump?
Yeah.
It's already down.
Again?
No, I think it only lasted so long that he took it down.
I'll host his fucking website.
And I think it's probably more of like part of the development to see if he's going to drop a Donald Trump 2024 webpage.
I hope so.
You think he will?
I need some entertainment now.
There's no chance he wins.
No.
No, but it would make...
They'd have to go for, like, DeSantis or something like that.
Let me tell you, so many people have jumped off the Trump train and are on the DeSantis train.
Yeah, hold on. Let me mute this real quick so I can say what I'm going to... Ah, fuck it. I don't even care. Fuck, now I lost it.
Whisper it, please. I feel like it's going to be rough.
Oh, because of that?
Uh-huh.
But... Oh, you should just turn it down there. So, if Donald Trump runs again against Biden or Kamala, I'm having to sit through it because of TikTok. Yeah, and I don't care about Facebook or YouTube. I'll just fucking upload it on my fucking podcast networks. It's fine.
If so-and-so and so-and-so come on.
If so-and-so and so-and-so end up running... And no one else takes over, and Donald Trump. Is that good enough for you?
I guess. Okay. Come on with it. Get to your point.
Okay, so if they run, aren't the Democrats
gonna
steal the election again?
It's funny. You know, I really hope that a Republican wins so all the Democrats can say that, be hypocritical, and just be like, yo, we stole the election, and then all the Republicans can be hypocritical and go, no, the fuck, we didn't. Like... Just shut the fuck up.
I just need to know who's running third party or fourth party or eighth party.
So,
Well, that was me. I voted Libertarian in the first Donald Trump.
Yeah, I did too. Gary Johnson just seemed decent.
And yeah, you know, I went to Afghanistan in the Obama administration. I went to Iraq in the Bush administration. And I was sitting there like, you know, if I deploy again, that person's going to be in charge of me. I kind of want the weed guy to be in charge of me. Like, you know, if something was to happen, he's going to be like, damn, that sucks. Let's nuke the bitches.
Out of all the Democrat candidates, who would you have wanted to see on the stage?
Not Biden.
Oh, fuck no, not Biden. Do what?
No, the one from Hawaii.
Oh, Tulsi Gabbard? That fine-ass woman? Oh, my God, she's hot.
Honestly, hey, don't know who she is.
You don't know who she is?
No, I didn't watch any of the
Hold on.
Fun fact is, she's a civil affairs officer. She is in our sister. She is in my sister company, not my sister personally, but like there's four companies that are the same, that do the same thing as my company, and she's in one of those companies in California.
Yeah, she is fine. Oh my God.
So would she have been a more?
She would have been more libertarian.
No, would she have been a more fitting president?
She was still much a Democrat, and she was progressive. So she in some of the stuff, but she was a moderate. In that,
she's fine.
Smart spending. She wanted, you know, she was willing to listen, and she didn't do a lot of that. She did the biggest thing is she did not drink the Kool-Aid on all this identity politics crap and everything. It wasn't. Walking in there like, we need a black man. We will have a black vice president person. It was going to be, you know, like, I will have the best candidate for a vice president on that one right there.
Kamala, I was Kamala hoping Harris for her or the Asian dude.
She was the biggest pandering Andrew for Yang. Society.
For sure. What?
She was the biggest pandering.
Nominating her, though. She literally took so many personal jabs at Biden and that basically just like laid out a roadmap of how to, you know, trash Biden, and then they turn around and made her the running mate, and I'm sitting there going like,
and a woman.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
And Asian.
No, I get that. And it was going to, like they said,
and Asian.
Gonna be a black, they said it, you know, it's going to be a black woman, and they went from her to Stacey Abrams in Georgia, which thank God she crashed and burned with her career.
I don't even know who the fuck that is.
She ran for governor in Georgia, and now she leads the chairman of the Democratic Party, I think now.
Ew.
Gross.
Yeah. I hate everyone. I hate everyone equally.
Yeah, that's how
equilibrium.
The government, I could be one of those ones where you're just like, oh man, I just want to help people. Boo the rest of this.
Oh, I kind of want to run for office just so I can put everyone in their place.
Yeah, but I have no like
everyone.
I have no platform to like. I don't
either.
Like, what do you stand for? Nothing. I don't give a shit. Like, let's
what do you stand for? Are you hurting me? No. Do whatever the fuck you want.
We're standing. You want to smoke? We're gonna smoke.
That's kind of how you just basically described small town politics. I mean,
yeah.
Tim, you could run for the one in the town you live in. I mean, there's usually some group of dumbasses.
I would make all of them cry every day because they are the biggest ever.
Oh, there's that. Yeah. Well, you know, I 100% know that for sure. Firsthand. Yes.
Like I single-handedly could make them all cry and quit. That's how big of bitches they are. Sorry, TikTok.
Cap on that.
But yeah. No, they don't cry. They just call the cops on me. But so what other ones?
That's fine. Call them. I didn't commit anything. I hurt their feelings. Oh God. Pussies. Can you say pussy on TikTok?
No, you actually cannot.
Shit.
Yeah, you really can't.
Any more fun comments on the YouTube side?
No.
No, he's actually gotten quiet. He'll probably say something because you asked.
Yeah. do we have any? No, there's no one on TikTok.
Just one person. I don't even know who it is.
No one over here. Do you have anything you want to add, Colin?
No, I would just say for people just kind of with the Afghanistan thing on right there, think about, you know, we're going to have a bunch of refugees that are now here in Afghanistan and think about how different it was. So think back 1975 when we took in tens of thousands of Vietnamese and everything, just how in certain areas it changed the dynamics. Mobile, there was a big Vietnamese push on the Gulf Coast and by Labatchery.
So, yeah, the neighborhood I grew up in was nothing but elderly white people and Vietnamese.
But you couldn't tell how old they were.
No, you couldn't.
Oh, I don't know what they'd be putting in shrimp, but it really keeps them from aging.
Because I grew up behind where Davidson High School is, and in the 90s, that was nothing but Vietnamese. Yeah, and then older white people that were moving out because the Vietnamese were taking over.
Ain't that shitty?
It made their property value shit.
I love how all the Republicans are like, stand your ground. But like one Vietnamese person moves in town and they're like,
all right, we're one. Leaving.
I know, but I'm just saying, that's all it takes, is one. And they're like, we're leaving, fuck this, I'm out.
It was probably like 500 moved into that neighborhood.
So much for stand your ground.
That kind of goes into the whole, you know, like...
Oh, I've got a funny story about that, too.
You know, it kind of goes with the whole urban development. But what I say on that one is, like, we are going to have tens of thousands of Afghanis now who are going to be amongst us, who are going to be American citizens, and I hope, you know, that the things that they were told about America and the Americans they worked with, because a lot of veterans are going to personally stand with these guys, just like they did in with the Vietnamese vets. So I hope a lot of Americans kind of welcome them. But at the same side, I hope we don't regret bringing so many here so fast.
When are we going to start seeing them here?
Well, they're already here.
Noticing them, I mean.
Let's say, yeah, if you're in Wisconsin, you're seeing a lot of them.
Okay. So they all went to certain locations.
Give it time.
Yeah. They're at, like, Fort Dix and Fort McCoy, Wisconsin. So they're here. Then
they still got how many refugees and stuff that are still coming over?
Yeah.
It's a shit ton.
And that, to me, is a true definition of a refugee and everything that is trying to, when we say refugee, we, you know, who's seeking political asylum, that is why they would be killed there.
See, I get that one. I don't get the, like, rush at the border bullshit.
That's a little different. That one.
Those aren't refugees.
Well,
I mean, they can be, but I mean, the people in Afghanistan already have fucking papers ready to go to get over here.
You know,
the other ones are just showing up.
They destroyed a lot of paperwork when they destroyed the paperwork in the embassy.
Yeah.
Ain't that shitty?
Yep. Destroyed all the hard drives and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, no one can fucking get extra copies or anything now.
Yep. Whole packets were gone.
Oh. It's fine. Those are the people they went for first.
Yep.
Yep. So then it's based on the documents that they had with them. And, you know, a lot of them, you know, if the Taliban started getting too close or whoever was getting too close, you know, those documents start going up in smoke. So then the biggest threat you'll see the intelligence thing is that we don't have the assets like we used to, and there's no structure in Afghanistan. So it's not like we can be like, hey, can Ministry of Health, can you verify this health record for Muhammad Arif? You know, something like that. Is this his actual record? You know, they don't have that capability anymore. So, you know, there will be some inner, you know, the fact, you know, just take a look at some of the things that are happening in Wisconsin now. They got mumps breaking out amongst the people there because they don't have the same health stuff, and we can't check and vet like we could when there was a functioning government in Afghanistan. So, like I said, be cognitive of how that's going to change. We just dropped at least 20,000, if not more, of a certain culture right into our own culture.
I think that's a good stopping point.
I guess so. I have no more questions.
I don't need anything else, Colin, or is it too late for you now? Because it's almost 1 o'clock for you.
It is 1 o'clock. So
well, thank you for coming on.
I appreciate that. I enjoy listening, and thanks for having me on here. Thanks for letting me vent on 9/11, the 20th anniversary.
That's no problem, bro. So, well, thank you for your service, and anyone else that has tuned in, thank you if you were in the military and had to go through this bullshit war. And that's it. We'll be back next week unless you got anything you're taking off for.
Nope.
Okay.
Good night and good fight.
Hey guys, this is Tim from JNT Unsolved. JNT Unsolved is brought to you by Anchor. You can find us on all of your favorite podcast apps. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Live shows every Saturday at 9:30 p.m. Central. We will see you again next week. And remember, question everything.